fellow called in the House of Representatives. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 18th day, Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker. Barlow.
Here.
Biteman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake. Bovee.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Air.
Here.
Flitner.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Furphy.
Here.
Garou.
Here.
Gray. Greer.
Here.
Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Laux. McGuire. Madden. McKim. Miller. Nicholas. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Pipirinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Sweeney. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zawanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Blake.
Excused.
Excused. Haley. Excused. Gray.
Excused.
Excused. Henderson. Excused. Hunt. Excused. Larson Dan. Excused. McKim. Excused. Northrup. Excused. Steinmetz. Excused. We have 51 present, 9 excused.
Thank you. We are joined again. We have the privilege of being led in prayer this morning by Reverend Bob Thompson of First Presbyterian Church. So if we'd please stand for the morning prayer.
Today I'd like to lead you in a guided prayer, and I invite you to pray for or think about specific people in your lives. Hear these words from Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Almighty God, we praise you for being present in our lives and caring for us as family. We rejoice at the blessings you bring into our lives, the path you have set before us, the path that gives life. Lord, we humbly come before you as people in need of your care and your love. As these representatives gather here today, their work set before them, they have many things on their minds and many people whom they care about. Hear our silent prayers as we lift up to you the people and the communities that they represent. For those whom they know who are grieving or who are sick, hear the prayers for their families. Hear the prayers for each other in this room, for the representatives sitting on their right and on their left. For their fellow workers in this building. Hear our prayers for those we disagree with. And hear these prayers for themselves and for their health. God, I lift up to you each person in this room. Surround them with your loving and strengthening arms. Guide them in their discussions and deliberations. Be with these men and women in their service to the state and empower them for the work that is set before them today. All these prayers and thoughts we lift up to you, O God. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are on that order of business of journal committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 1st, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Grew and Representative Gray.
We do not have a nurse of the day, but I am pleased to announce that Dr. Afzal Khan from the UW Family Practice Residency is here today as our doctor of the day. Okay, members, each year we have a real special treat and a special event, and so, my fellow representatives, it's really a pleasure that the Wyoming's Poet Laureate is here to share some of his work with us today. Eugene Gagliano was appointed by Governor Meade in July. He's a retired elementary school teacher from Buffalo and an award-winning author of 13 children's books. His writings celebrate life in Wyoming and the West. So please help me welcome Wyoming's Poet Laureate, Eugene Gagliano.
Thank you. Slight correction, it's Gagliano. No offense.
Mr. Gagliano, I thought that's what I said, but my apologies.
It's all right.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me this morning. I just want to thank you for what you do for our state. And I know it's been a stressful week, and I hope that you'll think about what I'm reading here and it help you to understand why you are here. The first one's called Prairie Quilt. Asphalt ribbon winding, wandering like a seam in the prairie quilt. Barbed wire fences woven into the fabric of brush grasses. Black Angus cattle scattered like buttons of coal among the mounds of muted sage. Lone sentinel windmills clattering, caretakers of the wind. Cumulus clouds collapse into rain curtains over the vast horizon where the sky mends itself to earth. Parched gullies sever the rocky plateaus that stretch like veins into the land. Wildflowers embroider themselves into swatches of lavender and yellow. Wild rose appliques tailor themselves into the landscape. Meadowlarks guard fence posts with song, as solitary cottonwoods create shade from the sun. Families. Families, generations of pioneers, mountain chained to the land, proud keepers of the prairie, from wagon wheels to iron horse. People strengthened by adversity, bonded by love and beliefs. Families seasoned by the labor of faith, time, and weather. Generations passing on traditions, ingrained in hearts and hands, families, wells of strength, a sacred part of our land. This one is most appropriate this morning. I'm glad I selected it. It's called Prairie Painting. Early one February morning, I discovered a prairie painting of frosty white. Flocked cottonwoods shimmered against a powder blue sky. The barren hills were softened by drifted swirls of crusted snow. Barbed wire like jeweled strands of steel glistened in the mellow light of the winter sun. Stalks of skeletal grass sparkled brightly. Branches of faded sage wore crystal crowns. Morning mist, pristine chandelier of white, reflected the sunlight, making it dance on icy crystals. The diamond-scattered prairie lay frozen in the sun. Picture yourself walking in this next one. This I do about five times a week. It's called French Creek Road. Early morning, I walk the road, trying to capture the summer for winter memories. Cascading drifts of lupin tumble down a ravine in purple splashes. Sunlight illuminates trembling grasses with halos of light. Spires of yucca blossoms pierce the prairie. Seafoam-colored sage mingles with yellow clover, scenting the soft breeze. Sweeping swaths of blue linking flax thread themselves among the fields. Hissing irrigation geysers pulsate over hayfields. Horses swish tails in rhythm to the buzzing assault of flies, as swirling cirrus clouds feather the sky and power lines hum in the wind. The pungent stench of roadkill interrupts the moment, a reminder that, like life, summer will end. And in conclusion, the Wyoming Rodeo. Wyoming Rodeo, on a warm summer evening in pastel lingering light, burst out of the chutes to a clapping crowd, hooting and hollering. Plain folk, real people, dressed in Stetson hats, with big buckled western jeans and boots and bold striped shirts of pink and teal. Steers bellow, calves bawl, horses whinny, as riders bucked and thrown hobble off the powder-furrowed arena. Hooves flail and steers charge. Dust swirls evaporate in the excitement as lassos whip the air and hats fly. Insects flicker in the arena lights. Metal gates clang to the thud of pounding hooves. The smell of burgers sifts through the stands. From the crow's nest, the local announcer jokes with the face-painted rodeo clowns, calling out winners, events, and hometown names. The American flag pulsates in the wind with anticipation, determination, and pride. All that is cowboy, Wyoming Rodeo. Thank you.
Mr. Galliano, first of all, I think we've been here in Cheyenne, so we can't appreciate the roads that you drove through to get here. I mean, really, as we all know in Wyoming, but particularly on I-25 yesterday, and so we really appreciate you making the trip and really a gem of Wyoming, and we appreciate your service to countless kids in Johnson County and your service to our state. So thank you so much for being here. And I'll make sure the whole house gets a copy of these, a paper copy, please, if we could, what you shared with us today. So thank you so much.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
From time to time, some old friends come back and visit us in the fishbowl. I see one out there today, one of our favorite ex-House of Representatives doorman, Mr. Keith Rounds.
I would ask Mr. Rounds if he could come in and give a privilege of the floor. I think he's chairman of what they fondly call themselves the has-been group. And I'm putting him on the spot. You got to be careful of attending a meeting. You'll never know when you be called upon to speak. But if you could just enter the bar and introduce the rest of our friends who have committed service here over the years.
You better have something on.
Top of the morning to you.
Thank you. You're too kind. No, I didn't bring a poem. I figure you're way tired of all that anyway. But thanks to Representative Larson, I do have a name badge. But we have a group of the retired employees of the House, and about half a dozen of us are here today, but there's normally 8 or 10 or 12. We meet once a month and have lunch and talk about you. Some of it's even good. But I want to tell you from my perspective that this has probably been one of the best experiences of my life, and I thoroughly enjoyed the 14 years that I stood outside there on the door. And I worked for the highway department before then, and people used to ask me what I did at the door. I said, same thing I did in the highway department, bullshitting and getting paid for it. But thank you very much. I appreciate it, and you all be well and carry on, do God's work.
Can we have all the members that we so fondly refer to, because we're all heading to that crew too, the has-been group. Could you all stand and we can show our appreciation? Thank you.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
And again, I just, Representative Henderson, I just want to thank again those, and I see so many fond faces, and we appreciate your service to the House of Representatives. So with that, please proceed, Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask for a welcome to the House for former Mayor Rick Kaysen, who's in the fishbowl.
Welcome to the House. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Please proceed.
I just wanted to remind the body to not forget your booties because it's cold out there today. Happy Groundhog Day.
Thank you very much. Any other privileges? It is indeed Groundhog Day. We're at that order of business now of reading Senate files. First reading of Senate files for our consideration. So the first Senate file is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31, introduced by Judiciary, Genetic Information Privacy.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to genetic information privacy.
Senate File 31 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 30.
Senate File 30, introduced by Judiciary, Jail Placement Coordination.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to counties.
Senate File 30 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by Management Council, Legislative Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
Senate File 2 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by Select Water. Transfer of water funds.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to water.
Senate File 8 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, introduced by Appropriations, Enterprise Technology Services Amendments.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the administration of government.
Senate File 41 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next Senate file for our appropriations is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by Revenue, License Revocation Process.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to license revocations.
Senate File 11 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, introduced by Revenue, County Boards of Equalization.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county boards of equalization.
Senate File 10 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by Education. Education, Hathaway Scholarship Program 2.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
Senate File 37 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by Select Commission on Statewide Education Accountability. Education Leader, Evaluation and Support.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to education.
Senate File 36 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Select Water Committee Review of Projects.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the Select Water Committee.
Senate File 3 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Omnibus Water Bill, Planning.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 56 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Water Projects, Map and Plat Filing Requirements.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to appropriations of water.
Senate File 4 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Wildlife Location and Research Information Confidentiality.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 25 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Film Industry Financial Incentive Program.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to economic development.
Senate File 24 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 13.
Senate File 13, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Manufactured Alcoholic Beverages.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Senate File 13 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Special District Public Records, BOCES.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to special districts.
Senate File 7 is referred to, Senate File 18 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Veteran License Plate Stickers, Repeal.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
Senate File 38 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Military Department Composition.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the Military Department.
Senate File 39 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Banking Revisions.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to banks, banking, and finance.
Senate File 5 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities, Amendments.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to radioactive waste storage facilities.
Senate File 6 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Telepharmacy, Amendments.
First reading of the file.
An act relating to the practice of pharmacy.
Senate File 62 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services. Department of Family Services, statutory amendments.
First reading in the file.
An act relating to the Department of Family Services.
Senate File 63 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
House Bill 41, introduced by Education, Court-Ordered Placements, Age Restrictions, an Act Relating to Education. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 41, Court-Ordered Placements, Age Restrictions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrup, Paxton, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrup, Chairman. House Bill 277, introduced by Representative Henderson. Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 277, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Kenner, Northrup, Paxton. Noes, Representatives Brown and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrup, Chairman. House Bill 216, introduced by Representative Blackburn, Sexual Assault Custody Rights, an act relating to child custody and visitation. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 216, Sexual Assault Custody Rights, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. No, Representative Greer. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. House Bill 271, introduced by Representative Harshman, Game Bird Farms, Greater Sage Grouse, an act relating to game and fish. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 271, Game Bird Farms, Greater Sage Grouse, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. House Bill 258, Department of Family Services Contracts, an act relating to the Department of Family Services, introduced by Representative Allen. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 258, Department of Family Services Contracts, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Giroux, Hallinan, Halverson, McGuire, and Sweeney. Excused, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman. House Bill 268, introduced by Representative Laux, Access to Naloxone, an act relating to food and drugs. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 268, Access to Naloxone, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, Sweeney. Noes, Representatives Clem, Dayton, Giroux, and McGuire. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 258 to your committee number 2.
House Bill 258 is re-referred to committee number 2, Appropriations. Any other re-referrals? We're on that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 60.
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 41 to Appropriations, House number 2.
House Bill 41 is re-referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Any other re-referrals? So the reading clerk, it will please read House Bill 60.
House Bill 60, introduced by Capital Financing, State Investment Policy, an act relating to public funds.
House Bill 60, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 89.
House Bill 89, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Judges of First Class Cities Retention Elections, an act relating to municipal judges of first class cities.
House Bill 89, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106.
House Bill 106, introduced by Representative Blackburn, Change in Party Affiliation, an act relating to elections.
House Bill 106, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 116.
House Bill 116, introduced by Representative Steinmetz, Abortion Amendments, an act relating to abortions.
House Bill 116, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 182. We have two amendments. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 182 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is just does a little bit of cleaning up, in my opinion. If you look at page 3, lines 5 through 12, it says if there are forms required. Really what this does is there's no forms that are stated in subsection A, and so we're just trying to clean this up and say, if you look at this, there's no real need to actually have this language in there because there's no forms required in subsection A. So unless there's a requirement filed out and put into subsection A, I don't think we need to have this language in there. It feels a little unnecessary.
Any other member for your first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in opposition to the amendment, the second amendment, which was just distributed, does clean this up. This amendment, though, doesn't clean it up. It takes the entire thing out. We have a disclosure form, a signed statement from the pregnant woman acknowledging that she was provided this option to have the information. And this is an option to have information. And this amendment just goes ahead and says we're going to take out that disclosure form. And I think that's the wrong thing to do. This is not a cleanup amendment. The second amendment is the cleanup amendment to take out the F and just say the physician shall obtain a signed statement. So please vote no on this amendment. It is not a cleanup amendment, and it is hurting the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for the first time? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would submit that it is a cleanup amendment. We have two amendments before us on which way you want to clean it up, but currently it says that disclosures are required pursuant to subsection A, and there isn't any actual language in subsection A whether there is a disclosure required or not. And so, I mean, you have an inconsistency. Whichever way the body wants to go, I guess I agreed to have my name on the amendment because of the just kind of the oddity that it says that disclosures are required, but there's nothing that mandates a disclosure. So the second amendment can clean it up. I would ask you to pass this amendment. It at least cleans it up, not based on the policy decision of the next amendment. And then if both pass or both fail, we can deal with it on third. But for the time being, there is, I guess I would say, an inconsistency in the bill that we need to fix. And this amendment at least takes it out one way. And then we can have the policy debate on the second amendment.
Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. on and against this amendment and for the bill, members, if you look here in subsection A on page 2, really what we say in the bill here, it's on line 5, that the physician or qualified person assisting the physician shall orally and in person inform the patient that she has the right to view an active ultrasound. And so what the release is that we designate in subsection C, which is on 3, which is what the proposed amendment deletes entirely, is just the disclosure that the doctor has indeed orally and in person offered this option. Doesn't designate that they have to do it. It's just a form designating that the offer has been offered. And so I would ask you to vote no on this amendment. And then when we get to the second amendment, I'll ask you to vote aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other member for their first time on this amendment? Any members first time? We're now moving to second time before the sponsor. Any members or second time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just making sure we're clear on this. This is a hostile amendment. Please vote no. We'll clean it up on the second amendment. Thank you.
For the sponsor, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I don't know how a cleanup can be hostile, but I suppose. But I'll just point you out on page 2, line 6. What you're requiring now, it says, shall orally and in person inform. And so how I read it, and I guess the body, if you can read it differently, let me know. But what's required is an oral statement in person, but there's nothing about a disclosure form. And I suppose if it's possible to have one on page 3, but it needs to be cleaned up one way or another, and maybe the Second Amendment does that. But at least for now, I would still submit you need the amendment, and then we can discuss if a disclosure form is going to be mandatory or not or needed. But for the time being, it does just create an inconsistency and puts an extra burden on, I guess, a qualified physician on whether or not they should even have a disclosure form. And this current as written doesn't make it clear whether or not they even need it. So I would still ask you to pass the amendment, clean up the bill, and then we'll have the policy debate on the next one.
Any other member second? Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you once again. And if we look here on page number 3 on subsection C, really with the, and I'll just read it with a proposed cleanup amendment, the next one, but just how it would read, the physician shall obtain a signed statement from the patient acknowledging that she was provided the information specified in subsection A of this section. It's just an acknowledgement of that yes, she was indeed offered this option orally and in person, and that's the documentation that we want to have down. So again, on and against this amendment for the bill. Thank you.
Sponsor, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, this amendment was not intended to be hostile whatsoever. This is meant to be just a general cleanup of this. Since we are not calling for any type of disclosure to be signed or anything like that in subsection A, the way that I read this is it looks like we're dictating something in section C that is not available or is not called for in subsection A. So again, I would ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 182. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 182 has failed. We are now on, before we take up amendment number 2, I want to ask Representative Henderson. He has a privilege of the floor. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. It's my honor today, members of the 64th, to introduce and ask for a hearty welcome to the House, a group of fifth graders from Henderson School in my district. And they've told me that that's a good name for that school. So please stand up. They're in the
welcome to the House.
I would just add that the teachers are with them, Mr. Paul Hartigan and Ms. Angel Decker.
Hey. Welcome to the House. Okay, we are now moving to our next amendment. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 2 to House Bill 182 and also move that since Amendment Number 1 has failed, that we delete lines 1 through 3 of Amendment Number 2.
That's a technical correction, and that will happen, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this does is it cleans up page number 3, and this is very consistent with the bill to say that the woman is going to be offered this information orally, and then the woman will sign a written statement that she was, in fact, offered this. So this is consistent with the bill. Thank you very much. Please vote for Amendment Number 1.
Any other members for your first time? Representative Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So my inquiry is the intent of the signed statement that this is now being clarifying, can that be part of another informed consent? Informed consent is something that we do standardly. So does this have to be a separate form, a separate procedure, or can this be included in something that's already being done anytime somebody receives a medical procedure? Just a clarification. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other member for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just another quick question, I guess, on this is, if this is going to be, as it states in here, that it shall be treated as a confidential medical document under all applicable state and federal laws and regulations, I guess my question is this ultimately going to end up being reported, or how do we determine whether or not this is actually signed and fed in? If we're going to be making this policy decision that we have to have somebody sign something, how does that become, factored into whether or not we're actually doing this? So if the bringer of the amendment could answer that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other member for your first time? Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. In answer to the question before, I think this can be included as far as informed consent when a person is actually filling out paperwork, et cetera, that this paper could be included. And to the fine representative that was just speaking a moment ago, if you look on page 3 and you read the full paragraph of subsection C, it does say on line 9, the signed statement shall be placed in the patient's medical file and shall be treated as a confidential medical document under all applicable state and federal laws and regulations, and that would include HIPAA. And so this is not something that's going to be disclosed publicly. This is something that is treated as confidential and part of the medical documentation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vote aye on this amendment.
Any other members for your first time? First time, moving to second time. Any members before the sponsor? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please vote aye on Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 182. This is consistent with the reading of the bill, and I think it's going to work well. Thank you.
We are voting on second reading Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 182. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Second reading Amendment Number 2 House Bill 182 has passed. The next bill House Bill 182, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 195.
House Bill 195, introduced by Representative Wilson, Quebec One Transfer, an act relating to the Quebec One Missile Alert Facility.
House Bill 195, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197.
House Bill 197, introduced by Representative Olson, Marijuana and the Products Policy Reform Act, an act relating to controlled substances.
We have an amendment. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Please make your point.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment actually radically changes the bill. If this amendment were to be considered, it would have to change the entire enabling clause. The current bill provides criminal penalties for possession of marijuana and THC products. This amendment provides civil penalties, radically altering the intent and the enabling clause of the bill.
I'm going to ask our Rules Committee to come up, and we're going to just pause for a minute, members. It's like, I'm going to. Okay, members of the House, the Rules Committee, we're back out of this recess, a short pause. The Rules Committee has determined that at this time that second reading, Amendment Number 1, is germane to the title of the bill and the single subject, the point that was made. So, Representative Baker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to continue the discussion, if you'll recall the discussion that we had on this bill yesterday and the presentation of this bill, it was very unclear where the state would stand after that bill was presented and where the statutes would be if that bill were to pass. And what this amendment does is simple. It doesn't change any of the progression penalties. It actually, in my mind, makes it stronger because it takes that first offense, which is that first key offense that we're trying to really, really focus in on. It takes that first offense and makes it a civil penalty as opposed to a criminal penalty. And I've got probably 50 reasons why we should do that, and there's testimony as to why. But for the sake of the body and for the sake of time, I'm just going to briefly describe a few of those bullet points. Recently, in a Wyoming poll, 70% of those polled supported medical cannabis, and it's legal in 28 states. Realize we're criminal. That substance is criminalized here. And for me, the issue can't be separated. You can't separate, in my mind, the issue of medical cannabis, which is legal in 28 states, and the criminalization of that medicine here in this state for a couple reasons, and one being Article 1, Section 38 of our Constitution, which was the Healthcare Freedom Act, which was passed in 2012. And that right is granted first. The right for our health care and to make our health care choices is granted first, and then after that right is granted, there's restrictions placed on it. But it's up to us as a body to justify those restrictions placed on that right. So as we look around and we avoid the glass bowl syndrome and we think about conceptually what's going on around us in this nation, the states all around us, and the implications of what's going on and the people that believe this issue is one that should be brought to the forefront and dealt with. If we really step back for just a minute and think about it, we are in such a difficult situation where we are geographically. Where I live, we have a major interstate corridor that goes across the whole country. And we have traffic that comes from all over the world on that interstate to go to the national park. And it's consistent. There's people coming in, and they don't necessarily know where our laws change and where they begin. But what I want to point out and what I want to focus on is this first offense, because that's really what the amendment's about. It's about criminal justice reform. That's what this is about. This is about ensuring that those 94,000 students that are in our K-12 system right now aren't criminalized for simple possession, for their simple first possession charge. This is about creating a state that pushes liberty and freedom. This is about creating a state that's friendly to medical treatment. Mr. Chairman, I would submit to you this is about keeping our 18 to 25-year-olds in this state. Mr. Chairman, this is about making a state that people want to come to and not flee, that people are comfortable in. And right now, the way that our laws on this issue read and this proposed bill read, it makes it muddier. It makes it more difficult to go back to our constituents and try to explain what we've just done while states around us are liberalizing their cannabis laws. Mr. Chairman, I would submit that our people in this state are our greatest asset, as the governor says. I agree with that. Our people are our greatest asset. And we talk about the difficulties we have at our institutions trying to recruit students to come in. And I spoke about this on another bill, but really, in my mind, this is a whole conceptual issue that I think when parents are trying to pick out and help their students pick schools and upper educational institutions, they consider these things. They don't want their kid going to a school and being a criminal for a possession charge. They don't want that. We wonder why enrollment's gone down. It's part of it. It has a big part of it.
20 seconds, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a number of things. We can talk about opioids and the impact that cannabis has on pain reduction and opioid abuse. We can talk about suicide and the impact and that states that have liberalized their cannabis laws and how the suicide rates have gone down. But I'll save that discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on in favor of the amendment, you know, I don't view it necessarily as broad of an issue as that. I simply want to say that, you know, under current Wyoming law, a first-time possession could make one eligible for 1 year and one year in county jail and $1,000 fine. And frankly, in this current environment, we have a number of states who are changing their laws. One immediately to the south. And the establishment of a civil penalty for a first offense, in essence, provides a shot across the bow and says, look, Wyoming law doesn't allow you to do this. You're guilty of a civil penalty, but here's what's going to happen for offenses 2, 3, and 4, and allow people to know that it is an offense. And frankly, you know, I have a large number of clients that are people who are traveling across the country who had, you know, medical marijuana from states on the West Coast and had permits in other states and are just driving through and suddenly find themselves committing an offense that's far more serious in this state than it is where they're going to or traveling from. It's an opportunity for the state to clear up time for the courts. It's an opportunity for folks to avoid hiring lawyers like me on their first offense, and it's an opportunity for folks to, like I said, get a warning shot across the bow. And I support the amendment, I support the bill, and would hope that this is at least small progress towards reforming laws that I think tend to be unjust overall. But I think we've got to take that significant step for a first offense, and I would rise in support of the amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me recenter this debate back on what we're contemplating in this piece of legislation. First and foremost, there is a hole that is in our laws right now regarding THC products and marijuana edibles. This is a very broad compromise because what we're looking at here is 8 ounces of THC product, which by all testimony that we have received is an astonishingly high amount. And by the way, I didn't mean to... Anyway, it's an astonishingly large amount of THC. And when you look at what we're trying to do with this piece of legislation, specifically, I would focus you in on page number 4, lines 9 through 11, which is they are contemplating striking entirely. On that right there, of a misdemeanor punishable by imprisonment for not more than 20 days. Now, look at that. It's not shall. It's not more than 20 days. There is still judicial discretion employed here, number one. Number two, when you talk about our youth who potentially are playing around with something that is very potent, we have the opportunity to try to divert them into a program that can help them at this critical phase right here. Now all we're contemplating is just giving them a slap on the wrist. And that's not what we're aiming to do. We're actually aiming to try to help them with what could become, according to testimony that we have received, Mr. Speaker, this is no longer considered a gateway drug. At these levels of concentration, this has become a destination drug in many ways. And so I just want to bring our conversation back around to talk about what this bill is contemplating. And it actually creates a stair-stepped process to try to make this a workable solution. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment and on and in support of the bill, I was going to say it's high time that we had this conversation, but that wouldn't be the right words. Mr. Speaker and members, I am not for legalization. I am not for medical marijuana legalization. I don't believe we should legalize it. However, I think we really do need to have a serious conversation about criminalizing this activity. Because what we're seeing in our jails and in our penal system is we're seeing higher and higher amounts, larger and larger amounts of people who are using this substance, and consequently they're getting bogged down in our legal system and they're taking up vital resources, and it's costing the state money. I approach it from the standpoint that we have a serious problem when it comes to our populations in our jail and in our prison, and we need to correct that. I like the compromise here, and for full disclosure, I'm on the bill as a co-sponsor. I was on the bill of the good representative who brought this amendment, and I think this is a kind of a Goldilocks area, because what we're establishing for the very first instance, and by the way, you're kidding yourself if you don't think that your kids or your kids' friends aren't messing around with this substance. It's happening, whether we like it or not. And what do we want to do? Do we want to criminalize them? Now, again, we are not making this legal. We're not saying it's legal, go ahead and use it whenever you want. That's not the intent of this legislation. It's still making it illegal. But what we're saying for the first offense, for that idiot out there who tries it and gets caught, what we're saying here is that if you're caught with 3 ounces of THC product in the amount not to exceed 8 ounces with the edibles, that you are guilty of a civil penalty. That's what we're saying for the first offense. And then it's a stair-step approach. Then for the second offense, it is a misdemeanor. And we go on to say it's misdemeanor punishable by 6 months in jail or a $750 fine and so on and so forth. We're just targeting that very first instance where someone is caught. And so and by the way, on the edibles, boy, that varies. You know, they're putting this product now in soda pops. You have a 12 ounce soda pop, and all of a sudden that becomes a felony. Now I think that 8 ounces is a good number. I debated on bringing an amendment for that, but keep that in mind that they're putting these things in soda pops. So if you have a 12 ounce or a 20 ounce soda pop with this substance in it, that becomes a felony. And just keep that in mind. So these things vary in degrees. But I would ask you for your support on this amendment and on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the amendment and in favor of the amendment, this amendment is probably going to be what moves me to vote aye on the bill. And I'd like to address another issue in this effort, in this baby step toward decriminalization, emphasis not legalization. Our circuit courts are getting jammed. Our court system is looking at cuts in their budget. Our law enforcement in our counties and municipalities are looking at cuts to their budgets. This will ease the burden. It will ease the clogging of the circuit courts, and let our court and our law enforcement officers concentrate on something a little more important to the public safety than a small personal amount of THC-infused product. On the amendment, and if it passes, I urge your aye vote for the bill.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I might counter my good friend's opinion that this amendment, if it passes, it does what a kind of an old-fashioned hardhead like me is not interested in having. This amendment would cause me to vote the other way because I think it goes too far. The purpose of the bill wasn't to decriminalize this. The purpose of the bill was to correct a structural problem we've got in our whole system. I I am opposed to this amendment. Vote no on the amendment and aye on the bill. Thank you.
Representative Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I want to point out there's been some comments about the intent of the bill, and I think probably the bill has two intents. It does actually try to address that gap in the product issue, and that is still maintained within the content of this amendment and the bill. So I think that is that purpose that the good bringers of the bill brought forth is still there. As far as the merits of the bill, the merits of the amendment, people are speaking to that, but I want to comment on one thing that was brought up, and that it's in regard to a strike, and that talks about the imprisonment for that first offense. And there was talk about, you know, getting these folks help or treatment or a program. Actually, I don't see anything in this bill that goes toward that. And having spending a lot of time in the committee that I serve on, number 10, we spent a lot of time on prevention and community treatment, et cetera. And I appreciate those things, but I'd actually think this amendment could be strengthened if we, at that initial stage or second stage, we started actually bringing in some mandatory treatment options so that the court would have to impose upon somebody if that's where this goes forward. The final thing I would say is, there was some talk about a destination versus a gateway. I think the state of Wyoming, by most people's acknowledgement, is in the gateway business because we actually have deal and regulate with that product that is probably the first introduction people have to mind-altering substances. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I thank you for the time.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker, for the amendment, for the bill. And I want to start, I do appreciate the good Vice Chairman of Judiciary's comments because I think 8 grams is a little high, but we're talking about everybody from, 0.05 up to there, and maybe we could have another amendment on third reading that fixed that part of it. But my major concern and why I like the amendment is just the misdemeanor in general. I mean, even if they don't pay a small fine or they don't go serve any time, getting a misdemeanor on your record, I was just reading from that association that oversees all the attorneys, they found there were 45,000 different federal and state issues in law that if you get a misdemeanor, you get restricted access to services, to student loans. I rent several places, and I always do the quick background check, the one you can do for like $25 on the Internet. But if you have a misdemeanor, it stays there with you until you go through some other court proceeding and get it expunged. And if I have a choice of, renting or offering services and I know someone has a misdemeanor, I'm just that much less likely to go with that person. And so I think after spending time in my community and the community over the hill, and it certainly, when I was had some courses I was teaching and asked, how many people in my class had partaken in things in the state to our south, it was, I would say, over 80%. And so I guess I was a little shocked how prevalent it is and how many people in my part of the state really have traveled down the neighbor to our south and tried this, and whether or not they brought it back, that's certainly illegal. But I think the problem or the issue is a lot more widespread. People north of our southern border of the state realize. And so I think it's a great amendment that you don't necessarily throw a misdemeanor at someone that stays on their record on a first offense.
Majority floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, this is an old friend. I don't know if I want to be his friend anymore. I like the amendment. I like the bill. Let's get it through.
Any other members? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'll try to be brief, folks, but I do want to speak to the reality that this amendment does bring a completely different question before you. The question is, are we criminalizing a possession? This is possession of a THC product, or are we decriminalizing it? Those are fundamentally different questions. You should know in full disclosure that there were several bills brought this year on the concept of civil penalties, and none of them are before you right now. This is not a decriminalization bill. I want to make that very clear. There is a hole in the law with THC products in the state of Wyoming, and this bill closes that gap. It sends a clear message to law enforcement in the state of Wyoming that those products in your possession of 8 ounces or less are illegal. It sends a clear message to judges that they know that it does fit within the statute, and to prosecutors that it now fits within our statute, that we can prosecute those individuals. Now, there is reform built into the bill, and we talked about that. Keep in mind, under the current law, if an individual possesses this same quantity of a THC product or a marijuana and plant form, it's a $1,000 fine or up to 1 year in prison for the first offense. 1 year in prison. This bill is a tremendous compromise. The bill before you, not the amendment, provides 20 days in jail or a $200 fine. 20 days in jail, a year in jail. And now this amendment is asking you to take an additional leap and take away the criminal penalty altogether. That's a radically different question that you're considering, and I ask that you reject this amendment for that purpose. If we want to have a conversation about decriminalization, let's have that conversation. But this isn't the bill to have that conversation in. Next, I just want to also point a few things out. If you provide a civil penalty, what is going to happen is the possession will be treated no different than a traffic infraction, meaning you pay your civil penalty and you never go into the courtroom. What does that mean? Well, a good chairman of Health and Labor brought up the conversation of treatment. And treatment is absolutely part of this process. If the individual goes into the courtroom, the prosecutor and the judge have the opportunity to assess treatment. They have the opportunity to assign treatment. They could assign 20 days in jail, suspend it all, and order treatment. If you reduce that 20-day to just a civil penalty, that person, if they need treatment, will never step into the courtroom to get that treatment. They'll just continue paying the fines. Also, keep in mind with this stair-step approach, no one's life is being ruined. It takes 6 offenses before you get a felony, 6. That first 20-day misdemeanor is probably going to be a deferral. So, and if you're a juvenile, there are special requirements on the records and expungement that will seal that anyway. So their life is not being ruined. If we're talking about an 18, 19, 20-year-old, they also have the option for deferral. They also have the option for expungement, which was a conversation brought up yesterday. So no one's life is being ruined. In fact, I want you to know that that's built into the bill. That's why the penalty was reduced from a year down to 20 days. This isn't the bill for the conversation about decriminalization, about civil penalties. That's a whole other bill and a whole other conversation. I ask you to reject the amendment. See this bill as the compromise that it is, and know that I think if you're focusing on treatment, you're not going to get it with your civil penalty. So reject the amendment, and let's have the discussion on the bill itself.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Just my first time to reserve for a second time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay. Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And really do appreciate, this is good discussion, good debate, and really do appreciate the words there from the good representative from House District 11. I would say this. I would not have co-sponsored this bill if I felt it was not a decriminalization effort. Because, indeed, the original statute right now says that if you're caught right now with possession under 3 ounces, you have a $1,000 fine and or one year in jail. Oh, and by the way, you're going to be saddled with a drug conviction the rest of your life. So what we're doing right now is we are decriminalizing, even without this bill, or without the amendment, excuse me, we are decriminalizing. So I think it is a discussion worth having. I will say this, and just to push back, as far as the treatment options, listen, if someone gets caught for the first time, experimenting or whatever, I don't think that's the right time to offer treatment. You want to offer treatment to those people, especially since you don't want to bog down the system. You want to target those people who have a habitual problem. And so we have that here on line 13 of page number 4, on a second conviction within 10 years. It talks about that it's a misdemeanor punishable by imprisonment of not more than 6 months and a $750 fine or both. And that is the time that a judge can come in and they can recommend those options. I am totally on board for treatment. I would rather see treatment than I would incarceration or jail. I would rather see treatment than sending someone to prison. Treatment works, and it costs a whole lot less than putting someone in jail. So on and for the amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker pro tem, I just want to push back against something. I, like the gentleman who spoke before me, have the privilege of working with many, many teens in my other life. And there is a moment in time where if you can help them at the outset of what could potentially be something that would destroy their life, if you're able to put them in a program that can help them, or you get the right person around them, that's the moment to do it. Not after they've already developed potentially an addiction or a problem or gone too far down the road to really easily extract themselves from. I just want to push back against the idea that we shouldn't try to help them the first time, and maybe wait for the second or third or after they've already gone down a path that's very destructive.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? One more time. Anyone else? Representative Baker, your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker pro tem. And I want to wrap this up. There's a couple things. One, we're a lucky state because we're not the first state to go through this. 28 states have medicinal marijuana, cannabis, and there are a number of states that have gone through the process of decriminalizing. I've got the list here. Different variations on their law, whether it's weight or number of charges. So there's variances throughout the nation. But we're not experiencing this for the first time. This isn't unknown territory. And lucky for us, there are statistics. So when someone comes out with what I call anecdotal fear-mongering about our kids and the increase in usage if we do this and what will happen to our kids, there's statistics, and I'd be willing to discuss that with anybody and hand that stuff out, but I didn't want to clog your boxes up with a bunch of information that you wouldn't look at anyway. But I have it available if you're interested, because the anecdotal fear-mongering that the sky is going to fall just doesn't really play out. States have gone forward and moved on this issue, and it just hasn't played out the way that people portray. Next, they talk about ruining someone's life, and this won't ruin someone's life if there's a misdemeanor charge. Well, by whose standard? Is that by the attorney representing them? Is that by the judge's standard? Is it by their parent's standard or their own standard? Because a misdemeanor is still criminal. So whether you think it's ruining their life or not from the outside in, I would say that would leave that up to that individual, because it probably does impact, maybe not ruin, but impact their life dramatically. I think just one more thing. Again, I think we just keep kicking this can down the road. I think the discussion has to happen. It's prudent of this body to have the discussion. This is the bill to have the discussion on, and this is the time to vote. Mr. Chairman, I would ask for your favorable consideration on the amendment.
We are voting on second reading amendment to House Bill 197. All in favor, please say aye. All opposed, no. Second reading amendment to House Bill 97 has failed. Division having been called, all of those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Okay. A lot more than 22. Again, second reading amendment has failed. House Bill 97 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. 197. I apologize. Mr. Speaker, do you want the chair back? Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A brief privilege. The very nice and polite Speaker Pro Tem apologizes for the earlier open mic. Representative Henderson.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Please continue.
I'm proud to welcome another fifth grade class from Henderson Elementary School. This is Mr. Paul Hardigan's fifth graders. Please join him and welcome to the house. Yay! Thank you.
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 200. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 200, introduced by Representative Hunt. Beef checkoff, penalty repeal, an act relating to the Beef Council.
House Bill 200 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225. The reading clerk will read the bill, and there are amendments on the bill.
House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Harshman. Select Committee on Education Funding, an act relating to education.
There are two amendments on the bill. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move corrected second reading amendment number one to House Bill 225. And I'd point out that is the corrected copy. Mr. Chairman, what this amendment does is it deletes the standing committee amendment that we made yesterday on page 5, wherein the bill is drafted, we remove taxpayer and put in business. And then what this amendment will further do is it will delete taxpayers and add in small businesses of 100 employees or less and large businesses of 100 employees or over 100 employees. And folks, really, I guess what I'm trying to do here is help us understand as we look at funding options for education that those people that will be either funding or be impacted most by these things will be the businesses of Wyoming, and I think that they should be incorporated in the discussion and see how these funding recommendations will take place. The reason I broke out large and small is because the impacts on large and small are really different, depending on real property that industry has, the amount of property they have that could be impacted by mill levies. So, Mr. Chairman, that's my proposed amendment.
Anyone for their first time? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. This is a friendly amendment. We'd actually talked about it, and I think that you ought to just vote yes and we move forward. Thank you.
Question on second read amendment number one to House Bill 225. Please say aye. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment to House Bill, second reading amendment number one to House Bill 225 has passed. We are on second reading amendment number two to House Bill 225. Okay. Oh, sorry, Representative Clem, missed you standing up here.
Thank you.
Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move second reading amendment number two to House Bill 225. In body, I I would ask you for your aye vote on here. If you look in page number 3, if you will, it's a very simple amendment. What we're doing is, if you look at line number 18 on page number 3, it says the select committee shall focus on 4, and we're changing that to 5. So it says it shall focus on 4 major issues related to school funding as follows. And again, the change would be 5. The first one is the potential for reductions in education spending. On page number 4, the second one, double I, is options for using existing funds. Consideration of diversions of existing revenue streams and investment income. And finally, number 4, options to increase revenues, including options that are time limited until next recalibration of education resource block grant model under Wyoming statute. And you can see the statute there. And what we're adding in here also is a fifth subject that they'll look at, and the potential, and this is on your amendment, the potential for savings by utilizing education savings accounts. And I bring this to you, I think we have to have a serious conversation about those education savings accounts. We pay anywhere from the average I think is about $16,000 per student that we pay to the district. Some districts get as much as $30,000 per student. You remove those students from the district. If you have private school or other type of schooling, different kind of schooling choice, you remove them from the model, you remove a lot of money. And so I think this is a subject that's well worth discussing. If we're going to have this super committee, then let's let them look at this. Let's let them flesh it out. If nothing comes of it, then nothing comes of it. But let's let them flesh out some of this stuff. So I would encourage your aye vote.
Representative Gray, for your first time.
Thank you. Reserving for my second. Thank you.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, thank you. I stand on and against this amendment. I don't think this is the place or the time to have this discussion on this particular issue. It may be, in fact, an interesting interim topic for Joint Education Committee, but in this specific issue of trying to solve this funding crisis we have, I don't think this is the place or the time for what is can be a very controversial subject. So once again, I stand on and against this amendment.
Chairman Northrup, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Last night we looked at two bills with this provision in it and decided not to pass them out and instead put them on as a interim subject, and so I would ask you to vote this down.
Anyone else for your first time? Second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things here. If an ESA is properly done and you pair that with a proper use of an LSRA draw, I think you could solve 75 to 85% of our education funding crisis. But we do need to act, and it needs to be taken seriously. And if it's not in here, I think it's great that it's an interim topic. This is, it can be an interim topic too, but I think it's very important that it's in here. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, and keep it nice and short and sweet. You know, interim topics are great. However, right now it's a little premature. There's no guarantee that it will be an interim topic. It's suggested to be an interim topic. That's a council, or that's a decision for management council to make. Do I think it should be an interim topic? Absolutely, because I think there's a potential for savings there, which is what we're looking at. I mean, you think about it, folks. $750 million per year in state funds, and we're short $400 million. That's a lot of money. And again, $16,000 per student on average. $30,000 for some school districts alone per student. And you talk about the potential savings with educational savings accounts. So I think it is within the purview of this super committee. If they're going to look at savings, if they're going to look at different sources of revenue, I think they should be looking at this as well, because this is a potential source of savings that could save the state a lot of money. So I would ask you to vote aye on the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 225. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment to House Bill 225, Amendment number 2, has failed. House Bill number 225, having been read two separate times. The second question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Just a scheduling comment for everyone. At the rate we're going, please join us for dinner tonight at the appropriate time. We'll probably be here late.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 231.
House Bill 231, introduced by Representative Laux, Firearm Possession, Allow Felons Antique Firearms, an act relating to firearms.
House Bill 231, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 238.
House Bill 238, introduced by Representative Connolly, Nude Image of a Minor Disseminated or Possessed by a Minor, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
We have an amendment. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, as we discussed this bill in the Committee of the Whole, I raised a question about age at which a child is introduced to pornography and just asked if we should adjust that date to 11 years with the courts with statistics that are in line with the national statistics. Having discussed this with the presenter of the bill, or the sponsor of the bill, rather, she agreed that this was a friendly amendment. So what I'm doing is just changing the age limit from the age 12 to 11, so in four different places in the bill. So I kindly ask that you support this amendment. Thank you.
Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 238. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. House Bill 238, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 250.
House Bill 250, introduced by Representative Wilson, Public Health Statutory Amendments, an act relating to public health.
We have an amendment. Representative Dayton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 64th, I bring you an amendment to House Bill 250. If you'll go to page 1, line 2, we're deleting amending. And there's a few other tools that need to be amended there to get to the heart of the amendment. What we want to do on page 5, line 17 through 23, is delete this section entirely. And the same holds true with page 6, lines 1 through 17, lines 1 through 23, and on page 7, lines 1 through 4, deletes that section also.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I think I'm disassembling the microphone here. Friends, you know, when you bring a cleanup bill, if you were cleaning your window at your house and you only cleaned the bottom half and left the top half spattered with rain and mud and all, it wouldn't be a very clean window. So I think that this kind of defeats the purpose of cleaning up. And if you will look in your box, I have a page that says House Bill 250 and then compare and a couple other things. It's a one sheet, shouldn't be too far down. So, members, what this amendment does, first of all, is it goes to the bottom of page 5, essentially page 6, and it takes back the cleanup where we put our statutory language in alignment with the National Organ Transplant Act. And certainly regularly in this body, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, we heard how inconvenient it would be to have some language in our Wyoming statutes and then have to look up federal law and find out something different. So the language in the bill as stands brings in the word fetal from current federal law since 1984. Just to clarify that that is federal law, it applies to us. It's nothing new, so I don't see any reason to take out reference to a 30-some-year-old, well, practically 30-year-old language. Also, if you look on the handout that I gave you, and you can see it in the current bill too, but it might be easier on the handout, one of the things in the current language says that it's basically illegal if you remove a part from an, if the removal of a part from an individual is intended to occur after the individual's death. I mean, I don't even know really what the legislators were thinking when they put that in there. The National Organ Transplant Act was specifically brought to address the problem of poor people being incentivized to sell their kidney or something like that to make money. So why we would want to leave this sort of extraneous issue of death in there, I can't understand. The second part of the amendment that you have before you has to deal with the abortion reporting form. And I just want to point out that in current statute, which you don't have in the bill, but current statute requires a report on the age of the woman, the type of the procedure, the complication, summary of the pregnant woman's obstetrical history, including previous pregnancies, length and weight, and the type of facility. I mean, there's a lot of material already in there. So, frankly, and you'll see at the bottom of your handout, that we gather now all sorts of interesting information for epidemiological purposes by county. So this bill inserted county in so that we would have parallel information for our use in the public health sector. And so to, for some reason, subtract this from the bill seems to me to be going backwards. So I ask your no vote on the amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to call a point of order and convene the Rules Committee on this piece of legislation.
Please. What's your point, Representative Lindholm?
My point is House Bill 250, I believe, violates Article 3, Section 24 of the Constitution, bill only containing one subject.
Okay. We'll convene the Rules Committee. Thank you. Rules Committee.
somebody else go, it'll be the last time. You're the last one to speak.
Yeah.
About the amendment.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me.
Members, and let's talk about our two points of order in our Rules Committee meetings today. The earlier point of order was raised on an amendment, and in Mason's section 242, paragraph 3, the point of order can be raised on an amendment, but may not be raised on the ground that a bill does not conform to the subject matter. We will decide that on third reading as a body, and that's so. The Rules Committee has not upheld the point of order, and so we will continue the debate on this bill. And we are on second reading amendment number one. Representative Dayton and Representative Wilson have both spoken for their first time. Are there any other members who would like to speak on this amendment for their first time? Okay, we're going to move to second time before the sponsor. Representative Dayton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wilson is correct. We do have federal law, and because we have that federal law, the provisions of HB 250 in Section 35.5.215 are unnecessary. Moving on to Section 35.6.107, the State Office of Vital Records Services should be given flexibility in determining what types of information should be reported for any service. In order to best conform with national reporting standards, laws such as HIPAA, et cetera, it is inappropriate for state statute to define reporting requirements for one specific procedure, such as abortion, and adding to the list of required data is unnecessary. Enforcing new penalties could involve invasive searches of patient records to determine whether a doctor had complied with the law. For these reasons, I believe HB 250 should be deleted.
Okay, we are voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 250. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 250 has failed. Having been read two separate times, House Bill 250 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 262.
House Bill 262, introduced by Representative Harshman. Penitentiary Savings Fund, an act relating to the Wyoming State Penitentiary.
House Bill 262, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 291.
House Bill 291, introduced by House Appropriations, Department of Health Facilities, an act relating to Department of Health Facilities.
House Bill 291, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We are now on that order of business. We are now on that order of business of third reading, regular list. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, can you please come forward? Thank you.
We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 191. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 191, introduced by Representative Harshman. Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships, an act relating to education. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Okay, there's an amendment on the bill. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would move at this time third reading amendment number one to House Bill 191 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, House Bill 191 was on the consent list. I visited with the good representative from House District 1 and asked him to pull it off the consent list so we could take another day. I was working with several members who had brought ideas to me and worked with some of our higher education institutions who, and the idea was to improve this bill the best product we can before it leaves the House of Representatives. And I didn't want to say, hey, it's going through on consent and we can maybe fix it on the other end of the body. So with that, I bring you third reading amendment number one. And members, if you have the amendment with you, it adds a little bit on page one, line five, after scholarships, insert providing for resident tuition for scholarship recipients. The difference in our universities from $5,000 to $15,000. And really what members of this body and what our higher institutions said to us, we think we can actually make a better scholarship and cost the state less money out of the Hathaway Fund. And so that's what we've been working on the last couple of days and wanted to take another day to do that. On page 3, line 11 of the amendment, where it says the full amount of unmet financial need, that is changed to the cost of attendance. And those are two very different terms that are used in the federal financial aid statements, and really what it refers to is after you fill out the FAFSA, and how this, basically everyone has a certain family contribution, but how this scholarship was narrowed down by having unmet financial need really pinned it down to only those top tier students who had really financial need, because if a kid came from a middle income family or those kind of things and being recruited by the top universities in the country, they're not going to have a lot of unmet financial need. And so that's changed the cost of attendance. And that's roughly at our university about $20,000 a year for an in-state student. If you look on page 3, line 15, it says, after Wyoming, we insert, and subject to reduction in accordance with Wyoming Statute 2116-1309A. And these are right in the Hathaway Scholarship, which says it in every program that if this student qualified for, you know, this scholarship and this particular scholarship and this one and this one, and maybe they qualified for five different scholarships, and you add all that money up to meet the full cost of attendance, that the Hathaway money be the last money in. And we do that with all of our scholarships. So in effect, nobody can go to a community college in our state and maybe be a financial qualifier and other merit scholarships that are privately endowed, and then all of a sudden receive a Hathaway scholarship where they're actually making money to go to school. That's not the intent. And so when the Hathaway was first crafted, Hathaway would be the last money in. So we did not go over the full cost of attendance. So that's the one change there. And then the amendment moves to page 7. And really this is an idea that was brought to me by members on the floor and then these institutions in the state. And the first part of the amendment, lines 20 through 28, refer to the University of Wyoming, and then lines 30 through 39 refer to our community college, and it's about the power of the Board of Trustees or the commissions then to grant that in-state tuition. And so the idea then is to improve really the attractiveness of this to get those top kids, and this committee will, it's pretty rigorous, very rigorous, but also reduce hopefully that use of the Hathaway monies, which is on the fiscal note. So I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I stand on in support of this amendment. I think this helps alleviate the concerns I have about the ultimate, I guess, the sustainability of the Hathaway program as it relates to its funding and basically its income structure and all that. I think this, by bringing in this in-state tuition, it'll help drop the amount of this scholarship and helps alleviate some of my concerns. And I think on page 5, subsection 5, you know, this requires a reporting requirement on this scholarship as well, and hopefully maybe in the other body, the good bringer of the bill will tighten that up to make sure that the appropriate committees get reported on to ensure that we're maintaining fiscal responsibility with that Hathaway program. So with this, I can, on the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to second the previous speaker. It had actually been my intention to vote against the bill originally because of my concerns about expending the Hathaway money, but with this amendment, it makes it, I think, I intend to vote for it. And you know, we had a discussion about out of other states cherry picking our high quality kids, and so with this back, I think it's really a net wash financially. And I think it's a good feature, so I'm pleased to vote for it now.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Question having been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 191, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 191 has passed. House Bill 191 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow. Barlow. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Air.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
No. Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
Aye. McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pipirinen.
Aye.
Aye. Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn.
Aye.
To no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 12 no.
House Bill 191, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 191 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235.
House Bill 235, introduced by Representative Miller. Mentor small game and game bird hunting, an act relating to game and fish. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment on House Bill 235. Representative Eklund, or Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Sometimes we bring amendments to tweak bills in certain ways, and I'm not satisfied that my amendment will correctly do that, so I'm going to withdraw it. The bill as it is a good bill.
Hey, thank you, Chairman Eklund. House Bill 235 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn, aye. Tano. Blackburn, aye. Any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no.
House Bill 235 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 235 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 253.
House Bill 253, introduced by Representative Harshman. Economic Development Account Funding, an act relating to economic development. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are two amendments on House Bill 253. Majority Whip Summers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would like to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 253 and ask for your favorable consideration. So, members, I think the best way to go is just to look at where this is put into the bill. So if you go into page one, basically line 15 after Constitution, and it inserts this language, a portion of this appropriation shall be expended for the purpose of improving broadband services in underserved areas within the state. And I think as we look at economic development in the state, what we don't want to do is lose track of rural Wyoming. And one of the best ways that we can ensure economic development in rural Wyoming, the smaller towns in rural Wyoming, where maybe some of these larger projects would not be, is to ensure that we have quality broadband. And I believe this can be done in a way that that really enhances competition, doesn't affect private business, but can enhance everybody's business. And so I just want to ensure that a portion of this money goes out to improving what is essential in rural Wyoming, and that is to get good broadband connection to these areas. And so with that, I would stand for any questions and all in support of the amendment and in support of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On the amendment and in strong support, I have a funky-shaped little district, and one of them, most of it is rural. One of the rural sections has excellent, high-quality, high-speed, broadband internet, and we are attracting business like crazy. This part of my district, this part of the state, is one of the few areas that's actually growing, both in sales tax revenue, in population, in housing. And it is due because we have work-from-home capability, work-from-rural-Wyoming capability, and we're thriving in this section of the state. In another part of my district, I have constituents that have to drive into town, go to the library once a week to check emails, to make phone calls. If they don't have landlines, some days they can make a phone call, receive a phone call, sometimes they can't. Yet this area is known for its work ethic, its beauty, and its accommodation to business, and can be a real growing sector of the state if it can get some broadband internet service there. And we're talking about the rural part of the state that seems to be neglected. I was disappointed that the section on page 2 was struck the other day, and I urge that this be put back in a slightly milder form. There's no money committed, just that we urge the powers that be in this state to pay attention to their rural residents and vote aye on the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and on and for the amendment, and it really brings it back to the intent of the bill, and which was struck out in standing committee. So, again, I think it just gives a little direction, and we'll let people work this out with private enterprise, how it goes through the process. So, thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The concern I have with the amendment is it causes me to reflect back on when we first started appropriating monies for these large capital projects, and there was a project up in that part of our country that has next to Yellowstone Park that was looking at some pharmaceutical production, and at the end of the day, when we come back with that large capital project, we says no, that these projects had to come well-suited, well-prepared to apply for these funds, and that we weren't going to single out an individual project to receive them. And that's what we've seen this last year. There's three different projects that came, one of which was that project up in the northwestern part of the state. And they received some funds. Two other outfits received some funds. I'm all for this broadband deal, but I think that if there's an entity that wants to come and apply for funding to get this accomplished, they ought to be they ought to come well suited and well prepared to apply for those funds. I think we kind of had this discussion and decided that it was important that we didn't, we left the decision making up to those individuals on the SLIB board and in the treasurer's office. I would encourage us to stick with the plan that we developed.
Chairman Zwanitzer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I would simply echo those previous comments. I don't believe this is the way we should go about this bill. I actually got to the point where I was comfortable with the bill and was probably going to vote for it, and I'm not sure about this amendment. A couple concerns. First is this a portion of the appropriation. So it's undefined. You throw a pot of money out there, you're going to, I don't know if you'll have winners and losers, but you're going to have various entities, large and small, competing, and I bet the larger entities are going to be able to direct funds and meet the qualifications that are required of these programs otherwise. I would remind you, it's LSRA funding from a pot of money, and if we want to take this step, I think we can do it in the budget bill, not in this bill. I mean, we have the budget bill before us next week. At that point, we could direct money from the LSRA to go to broadband services because it is a significant issue and it's needed. I just don't think you want to appropriate money that just as a portion of and put it out there. It's just a little sloppy, in my opinion. But it's no argument that this is necessary. This is needed for our economy. We need more broadband, especially in rural areas. And so it almost kind of hurts me to get up against this, but I just don't think this is the right way to go about it with this amendment. So I'd ask you to defeat the amendment and vote on the bill. Vote aye on the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay. Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would just like to comment that I don't agree with this amendment, but I really do support the bill.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, I do support this amendment. And I guess the final thing I would say is this just provides a little flexibility in there and establishes a bit of a priority for what is very important in rural Wyoming. And so honor and support of the amendment and in support of the bill.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 253. All in favor say aye. All opposed, no.
No.
Division. All in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 253 has passed. House Bill 253, having been read 3 separate times. Oh, I'm sorry, we have another amendment. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll make this quick. I move Second Amendment to House Bill 253 to try to have some general conversation about a very important policy decision we're making here. I'm a huge fan of economic development, and I just have a different view about whether this is the right move at this time. The number one thing that hurts economic development in the long run is a tax increase. And the LSRA is our lifeline in this time where we're having budget problems, and that's sort of acknowledged when we have proposals on the table to have tax increases with triggers based on where the LSRA is. And a $25 million draw speeds up the depletion of this account. And it's a whole month of financing our schools to plug the deficit in our schools right now. And you can look at any state in our country's history, any area. Every area starts with concentrated economies, but over time, and the rates at which this occurs can differ, but over time, you build economies of agglomeration, and that's how you get diversification. And the bottom line, the number one thing that will stop that is if, one, government needs to provide basic services well, and two, it needs to keep taxes as low as possible. And I think that this proposal moves us in the wrong direction. So I'm opposing this bill. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem,
As I pointed out, I think it was yesterday, you know, my heartburn on this bill relates to a couple of other things. First of all, I don't see the wisdom or even the propriety of using a contingency fund that's met to protect but against budget shortfalls for the Education Foundation program and the general fund, and peeling off a piece of it for venture capital. And that's really what it is. We're saying, this is only, we heard testimony yesterday, well, this is the only place we've got any money left is in the contingency fund for these two things. And I guess that kind of relates to an experience I had around here over the last couple of weeks. I had a bill, it was House Bill 105, and what it was, is it was kind of my crown jewel. It's the proudest bill I've ever been with a bill. And it was going to come up with spending protocols for the LSRA, that we need to have some discipline on what we spend it on. And I had things in there like any budget shortfall, whether it's the foundation account or the general fund, we could only use up to half. We could only close that shortfall up to the point of one half, and the rest of it had to be taken care of by either budget cuts or increased revenues. this you know, by the time it got scheduled in the committee two, we'd already violated my provisions. So I just told them not to schedule it because it's too late. I should have brought it last year. Probably would have passed, but the door is already open and the barn is, or the horse has left. The other thing I fear, and this is really from a financial standpoint more important, and that is any utilization of this money that is actually used by a business, by expanding a business or building a business, is sure to generate subsequent fiscal shortfalls, and these fiscal shortfalls will be so much larger than the 30 or 25 million that's in this bill, and none of us are going to be around here to pick up the pieces when that happens. The kind of businesses we're talking about here simply don't pay their way. In fact, they don't even come close to paying their way because we don't tax them. What happens when they're not taxed? It's kind of a sequence of events. School districts end up with larger enrollment. They need more money out of the school foundation program, and we don't have it. School is the only part of it. We have local governments, counties, cities. They don't pay their way, and they don't even come close. I mean, some of these SIC sectors in this state don't even pay for a third of their costs. And that's what really concerns me. So that's why I guess I support this amendment and oppose the bill.
Representative Jennings.
Well, I'd just like to get up and reiterate what the former speaker just said. You see us agreeing a lot, but here's one that we do. I don't know if that's a photo op or what. You know, savings are that for a specific reason, and I'm not saying there's never a time, but, boy, we ought to look very hard at this one. So on and against for the amendment, against the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and appreciate the comments of the good chairman of committee number three. And we have we've had these conversations a lot over the years, and I think, and you've seen a lot of it, really what he's talking about, and you can go on our website, and perhaps I'll just provide it to you all in paper form. You need to dust off Tax 2000, and he's nodding his head at me right now. And he's talking about all of us who are freeloaders. And actually, about 70% of us, actually more than that, but 70% of the bills are paid by companies that produce minerals. And those companies are people too. And so I'm very nervous about trying to raise revenue on the people who are paying all the bills. So how do you do it? How do you do tax 2000? How do you, and you know, and everybody that gets branded income tax. Well, read the report. It's not that. I mean, there were some giants of the state who met for 2 or 3 years and worked and worked and worked. And see, we've had these same conversations in the 60s and the 50s. And frankly, I was reading a little bit just yesterday in an old book from the territorial governor. Same issues. How we got to somehow, we've grown our ag and we've got to get past this that we're an ag-only state. And this is in the 1880s. And so at what point then, you know, and what the chairman of committee number three is talking about, it's going to take courage. I don't know. When will that happen? I don't know. And maybe it'll happen in 2 years. Maybe it'll happen in 10 years. Maybe another boom will happen and we'll postpone it till the next time. And so I don't have an answer to that. But it's going to take the people of Wyoming through this body and the body down the hall to have that conversation. And it's a conversation that needs had. And you can see what's happening in this House of Representatives. We're doing this all along the bottom. We're talking about this dollar here and this dollar fee here and this dollar fee here. And, you know, and if having 70% of your budget paid for by a few taxpayers was a recipe for economic success, I mean, us and the largest state in the union, landmass-wise, we'd be the best in the world. So how does it happen? How do we start it? The good representative who brought this amendment says it's life cycle. Maybe he's right. And so it's this chicken or the egg thing. How's it going to work? But maybe he's wrong. And maybe there's somewhere there's a balance in the middle. And we know what's going to happen in the northwest part of the state. It's huge. It's going to be a huge deal. And it's going to really diversify what's really a tourist economy because minerals have really declined in that part of the state. And so this is probably the most scrutinized program in the state. It's going to take two-thirds of us today to approve it. And then it starts, it's going to start with the governor, the chief executive officer. It's going to go through all 5 elected officials. Then it's going to go through our council that vets all these to make sure it's all prudent investor. And then it's going to come back through those 5 elected officials again. And really the criticism is that the process takes too long, frankly. But I think to use these state funds in this manner prescribed by our Constitution, I think it's important we do that. And I think, but in reality, this number could be bigger than $25 million. We all know that. But I think it's a start. And so how do we start and how do we continue this? And these are tough discussions. And the people that sat in these chairs in the decades before us have had these same discussions. And I just don't want to, you know, whether that's going to be 20 years from now and we'll be arguing about the same kind of thing. And we probably will be, but if history's any judge. But I think I, for one, am optimistic. And I want to talk this state up. And we've got to give these opportunities. And this is not the whole thing, but this is one little arrow in the quiver. And it's a message that we as the elected representatives of the people that we're serious about it. And so we've set this, the voters have set it up in the Constitution. We've set it up in the statute. We've followed this process before. And I would ask you to,
30
the
seconds.
Amendment is withdrawn. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. When the amendment is withdrawn, that you vote aye on the bill. So thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. I'm in favor of this bill. We've had some good testimony over the past couple of days regarding it, and I, too, share a colleague's concern that here's $25 million out of the LISR, and what did we do with the last budget? We'll get to watch that budget when it comes forward, what we do in terms of kind of the health care needs, suicide prevention needs, things like that in the state, low income, energy, all of those kinds of things, and I will urge us to do that. So I agree with that. I also agree with the good chairman of revenue, who yesterday had an amendment
that said, you know what, we need some more sideboards. And I even wrote myself a note and said, you know, next year I want to bring a bill that actually goes into WS 9, 12, 311, A Romanet 3 and put those sideboards in there, and even more than what he had suggested. That was a good idea. But I'm in favor of this. I want to remind the body that this is a loan to the LISRA, a loan. All right, that will require at least a 2% payback, which is more than what LISRA is getting right now, for the possibility of great economic diversity in the state. This could be a cornerstone of a diversification program. Again, it's a loan, and on and in favor.
Representative Flintner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to beat a dead horse because I think the good minority floor leader spoke very eloquently to what I needed to say. And I just want to speak as a person coming from a very rural part of Wyoming. I'm married to an economist and a rancher, and he tends to think more in line with the good chairman and my good representative who sits behind me about, you know, letting things correct themselves naturally. But I am for this bill because I think it's vital to rural Wyoming, because our local banks can't provide these necessary loans for these types of companies. And where I come from, I don't think we're going to see any large-scale projects, but we might see a project that could bring in more jobs than we have at this moment, and I think that probably lends itself to be true across most of Wyoming. I think this is a good thing. It is a loan program, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. 4 years ago, we worked this bill really hard, and so hard that we put on so many sideboards that it was questionable whether or not anybody would be able to apply for it. They had to be their stock had to be traded on the big exchange. There were so many other little things that we added into it. We just kept adding and adding into it, making sure that they were really well vetted. And remind you, this, like they said before, is a loan. Do you want to invest in a bridge on some place on a seaport town, or do you want to invest in Wyoming? That's what it's about. Thank you. On and support.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. I'm against this amendment and for the bill. This is a good opportunity for our state to bring in some large companies. We cannot save our way out of economic slump. Prudent investment in these projects can diversify our economy. Our local banks cannot provide the money for these large projects. That is what they've been saying to us. They require too much money. So let's support this bill and try to get some more projects in our state. Thanks.
Representative Edwards.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Chairman Pro Tem. I thank you that I have an opportunity to talk to you about this. A few years ago, when I was a county commissioner, we had a project up in my area of the woods called Double Wapiti. And Double Wapiti came to an end. They were supposed to build a power plant, and it never happened. They took a lot of time, wasted a lot of money. And I didn't say what the name of the place was. I called it something different than what it really is. They had another in years before that. That was a coal gasification plant. And in that one, the state got behind it, and it up and blew away. There were a lot of people in our town that decided that they were going to invest because they knew for sure, because the state was behind it, it was going to happen. A lot of people, because of that, lost their shirts. It's a lot better if you leave it up to private enterprise to decide whether it's good or bad for them to come in. There are those that will take advantage of anything that they can get for as free as they can get it. If we, as a state, will make it easier for them to come in, there's a person up in my neighborhood that would like to start a business, but the regulations are so strict he's probably going to go to the Beehive State to start his business. There are a lot of opportunities. Government usually stands in the way from those that would like to try and see if they could make a living. I hope that you will support the amendment and vote against the bill. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Temp. A couple points before we vote. One is that I don't think we're a bank. I don't think government should be a bank. And one of the reasons why I think this approach gained some momentum over the last decade was some regulatory changes that were made by the executive branch with the legislative branch over the last decade. And I think with the current administration, I think we're going to get some relief on those. And so one other point I would make is we've been trying this approach for quite a while now. And I think it's questionable whether it's really working. And I think that's implicitly, not explicitly, but implicitly sort of acknowledged by the fact that we're continuing to say we need to do this approach. And some of the comments previously seem to suggest that it hasn't been working. So I asked this body to maybe take a different approach here. Let's try a different thing. And I think it's economic development, but it's a little bit of a different way to go about it. So I asked for a no vote on this bill. And with that, I withdraw amendment number 2 to House Bill 253. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gray. We are voting on House Bill 253. This, because of the constitutional issues, requires a two-thirds vote to pass. So House Bill 253, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Grew.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters. Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Winters as aye. Baker.
No
to aye. Further changes? Blackburn. No to aye. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 53 aye, 7 no.
House Bill 253, having received the two-thirds required vote, affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the House, House Bill 253 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 8.
House Joint Resolution 8, introduced by Representative Allen. Federal Responsibility for American Indian Health Care, a joint resolution requesting Congress to uphold the federal trust responsibility to provide for the health care needs of American Indians, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are no amendments. Chairman Barlow? Okay. All right. Okay, House Joint Resolution 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk shall call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt. Hunt. Hunt excused. Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Joint Resolution 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution 8 has passed the House. Members, we're going to do an unusual, not really unusual, actually we're going to have an announcement. We're actually going to go to Committee of the Whole for one bill, and we have a couple quick, maybe we can wait on these announcements for just 1 minute. We're not going to recess for lunch right now. We actually are going to move to Committee of the Whole to hear one bill. Then we'll come out of Committee of the Whole. And we have a representative who's got a very special date coming this afternoon, him and his bride. So we want to, this is his bill. We want to hear it quickly so he can go watch his wife, so they can go have a baby. That's what's going on. So hey.
Hey!
I'm always careful about putting Dad in that he's having a baby, because I've been told many times by my lovely bride and mother of our four children. Okay, so with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to hear House Bill 202.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The House is now in Committee of the Whole. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 202. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 202, introduced by Representative Lone, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties, an act relating to motor vehicle insurance. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 202, Motor Vehicle Insurance Penalties, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Blake, Acting Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman Eklund?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, especially for the change in plans and in allowing our young representative to get more important business done. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 202 do pass, and I further recommend the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1, and I turn the whole thing over to our bill sponsor.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask for your favorable consideration on this bill. This bill that you have before you is a simple cleanup bill with regards to motor and vehicle insurance penalties. We heard a previous bill, House Bill 08, or House Bill 80, and we discovered that in current legislation that there's a minor penalty that has resulted in some individuals taking advantage of purchasing insurance in order to renew their license plates, and then they drop their insurance. And this is something that's happened in my district. I've had a constituent who was rear-ended and ended up having to pay for bills because the individual, though had a registered vehicle, had no insurance. So the idea behind this bill is simply to increase the penalty for first offense so that it provides for individuals the desire to maintain their insurance by letting it lapse. I further provide for the amendment as it's been moved, a request that you favorably consider that, and we can take care of that now. All we've done is remove a little bit extra language from page number 2, line 12 and 13, to provide clarification. So with your, with that, I will stand for any questions and ask if no questions that we move the amendment.
Okay, question, we need a first dispatch of the Standing Committee Amendment. So a question on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 202 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Eklund's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so, the recommendation that House Bill 202 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. House Bill 202 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Congratulations, Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you all to my brothers and sisters in the 64th.
You know, members, before we rise and report from Committee of the Whole, I've seen some pretty cool things on the floor of the House, but that's right up there in the top 5, and I'm not sure I remember 1 through 4 right now. So pretty awesome, and congratulations and best wishes. Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. That motion carries. The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
February 2nd, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 202, amended, recommended do pass. Mr. Speaker, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report. You have heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Representative Lone, congratulations again.
So before you recess, I can really go. We'll do committee reports after I make my announcement.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, I'm not a committee report.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
We need to, before we address that motion. We have standing committee reports. So we're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Bill 236, introduced by House Education, School Finance, Omnibus Education Funding, an act relating to school finance. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 236, School Finance, Omnibus Education Funding, respectfully reports same back to the House, recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Paxton. Noes, Representatives Kenner, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrop, Chairman. House Bill 255, introduced by Representative Guru, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility for Non-Citizens, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 255, Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility for Non-Citizens, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Flitner, Freeman, Kenner, and Northrop. Noes, Representatives Brown, Hunt, Paxton, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Northrop, Chairman. House Bill 193, introduced by Representatives Wanitzer, Animal Protection, an act relating to animals. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 193, Animal Protection, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Gray, Haley, Henderson, Larson, McKim. Noes, Representatives Claussen, Hunt, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative McKim, Chairman. House Bill 198, introduced by Representative Hunt. Country of Origin Label, USA Beef, an act relating to food labeling. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 198, Country of Origin Label, USA Beef, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Claussen, Gray, Hunt, Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Haley, Henderson, Larson, and McKim. Signed, Representative McKim, Chairman. House Bill 261, introduced by Representative Northrop, Diversion Dam Operation and Turbidity Measure, an act relating to water. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 261, Diversion Dam Operation and Turbidity Measure, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Claussen, Hunt, Larson, McKim, and Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Blake, Gray, Haley, and Henderson. Signed, Representative McKim, Chairman.
Before we go to committee announcements, I think we have a few privileges of the floor. Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, if I could direct your attention back to the bowl, all the way down from Sheridan is our mayor, all the way down from God's country, if you'd make him feel welcome.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Quick privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
My father's in the back. If you could make him feel welcome, thank you.
Welcome to the House. As I said, I met Representative Gray's father yesterday. There's nothing better than watching your kids do stuff. So to a proud papa, glad you're here. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, excuse me. In the back also is a good friend of mine down from Casper, Wyoming, Stuart Atnip. Please welcome him.
You know, Mr. Atnip and Mr. Gray, it's not very often we have two folks down here from Natrona County. You know, the one that's number one on our license plates and number one in all of our hearts. Thank you for being here today. And I'm telling you, that never gets old. Any other privileges of the floor? Committee announcements. Privilege of the floor, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Re-referral, Mr. Speaker.
Let's go to re-referrals, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks. I need to re-refer House Bill 248 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 248 has been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Thank you. Committee announcements. Re-referral, Chairman Northrup.
Thank you. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 236 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
House Bill 236 has been re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, I've been waiting all day to be able to give this particular privilege of the floor. May I?
Please proceed.
Thank you. I married up, y'all. I married an awesome lady, and she is here today with my three children. They're sitting in the back. And this is Christy, if you'd stand. And then Liberty, Zayden, and Bryson. And they're in just this week. Thanks, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome to the House, and I think truer words have never been spoken. You certainly married up. Thank you. Any other privileges? Back to committee announcements. Any committee announcements? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tonight upon adjournment in House 36 to do 287.
Any other announcements? Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary committee number 1 will meet in H38 ASAP to discuss three bills, 226, 256, and 259.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House JAC committee number 2 will meet 5 minutes after noon recess for re-referrals, House Bill 41, 258, 248, and 236.
Any other committee announcements? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 7, Corporations, will meet immediately for House Bill 266, 252, 276, and 269.
Okay, members, the House is in recess. Sorry, Chairman Eklund.
My announcement isn't quite as urgent, but nonetheless, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs number 8 will meet upon adjournment, and we'll discuss 280 and 284. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Any other committee announcements? Members, we will recess until 2 p.m. The House is in recess.